explain to Miranda Bird what the decision to waive the entire hearing today? How did that come about?
Typically, he's being represented by Jeff Buckles, who is with the Capital Crimes Division of the Public Defender's Office. And they can waive arraignment. And when you have a juvenile, it's difficult to transport and get everybody where they need to go. And that paperwork has been filled out. We're in the process of continuing to fill it out. And defendants sometimes can waive arraignments, and in this situation, they did.
Can you explain what the sheriff said this morning? That their charge they got for him was child abuse resulting in murder. I don't think that really is a charge. I thought it was child abuse resulting in death. So can you explain
that? It would be. It's just it's the same thing, murder or death. So it refers to the same thing. The three charges of child abuse resulting in murder or death is a same sentence, 30-year sentence, and it's because that the children, the ages of the children were 9, 5, and 2, and we felt that those were the more appropriate charges.
So he still has the 5, though, first-degree murder as well. Is that just a cover?
It's basically, yeah, or in the alternative. That's the way that things are always filed. But basically 5 charges of murder.
How common is it for the hearing to actually be waived? Is it because it's a minor and that typically...
In this circumstance, it's not unusual at all. Actually, in this circumstance, it's something I would anticipate. Typically, they do it when defendants may be out of town or when it may be a lot of commotion and a lot of people and a lot of... publicity that the defendant is trying to avoid. It may be in the interest of justice. It may be more economical to just to do it by paper. When we do waive an arraignment, there's really nothing at issue. The purpose of an arraignment is to notify the defendant the charges against them, and the attorney can do that, to enter a plea, and the attorney can oversee that, and to set conditions of release. All of that can be done on paper.
So what's next for this young man now that for this hearing?
We anticipate the case will proceed to the grand jury within 10 days, and then there will be an arraignment. Because the Serious Youthful Offender Act applies, he will be prosecuted as an adult by our Felony Crimes Division in this office, not at the Juvenile Division.
Did you say the Serious Offender?
Yeah, the Serious Youthful Offender Statute. That applies to any juveniles age 15, 16, or 17 that are charged with a first-degree homicide.
Is there anything about when you take a child to court like this, even if it is an adult charge, do you have to go through more competency hearings or anything like that because it is a child, to determine what they developmentally are?
Well, that is an issue that the defense may raise or not. That may go to mitigation. I mean, I can't second-guess what Mr. Buckles will be doing, but certainly you would anticipate issues such as that.
Will the young man be housed at the adult jail, or will he stay housed at juvenile?
Actually, he could be held wherever is deemed most appropriate. I would anticipate at this time he will be held at the juvenile detention center.
But your office doesn't have any preference?
No, not at this point in time. We have no information that would lead us to conclude one site is better or preferable over another.
Do you happen to know, Carrie, is he being held with the general population right now? Do you happen to know any of that information?
In the juvenile facility?
Yes.
I don't know at this point. They would have to answer that question.
Carrie, we heard you talk this morning at the press conference about the 12-year-old girlfriend having some degree of knowledge, whether it be the photo texted to her at 1 a.m. the morning of, whether it be comments that he may or may not have made. What potential charges could someone face if they had knowledge of this type of a murder and didn't report it, say, for more than a dozen hours?
We're looking into that as well as the Sheriff's Department. And we don't know what will happen, and we don't have all the facts yet, but we're trying to get those facts. If we feel that there are appropriate criminal charges, then we will pursue those as we would in any other case.
What are some of the statutes that you're looking at?
Well, right now, we're kind of trying to think about what may be applicable or not. There's nothing that jumps right out at us.
Given that it's a 12-year-old, how does that complicate things?
Well, I think our job is to decide if there's any applicable or appropriate criminal charges, and then we follow through the process. The juvenile system is very different from the adult system. It usually goes through probation, and they have a preliminary, what we call a preliminary inquiry, and address certain issues. And so we'll decide if there's any appropriate criminal charges, and just let the rest, the system take over how they normally would handle these things.
If there are charges, would it be the 12-year-old? Would it be against the 12-year-old, or perhaps, I don't know, parents?
Well, we don't have all the information yet, so right now it would just be speculation.
Have you guys already talked to the other Griego children? Are you guys having
My understanding we have not at this point in time.
Will there be any mental examinations for Griego?
That really is up to the defense attorney, I think, at this point in time. We don't have access to the defendant now that he has counsel, and so his counsel will determine what are in his best interests.
When did he get that counsel?
We received notice this morning that Mr. Buckles would be representing him. And I don't know the time, but mid-morning maybe?
When we see... someone else has something. I'm sorry. I just blanked out.
Is there any other case law that might inform whether it's going to be appropriate or even possible to bring any charges against the 12-year-old? I mean, anything that you...
No, I mean, we're really looking into that right now. Nothing jumps out at us.
Oh, okay.
So there may not be any appropriate charges, but we don't have all of the facts, and so we need all of the facts, then we need to sit down with the statute books and make a decision as to what we feel is appropriate. If anything, we're not, you know, we don't know.
Is it fair to say this takes the same amount of time if an adult had murdered five people, or is this going to take a longer amount of time to get through the court system?
Well, there may be more issues with a juvenile. Once again, that we would be speculating. We don't know. But it will take a fair amount of time. This case isn't going to be resolved by next week, or if it is, it would be extraordinary. We don't anticipate that.
When you have something like a taped confession, which, at least according to the statement of probable cause, there reportedly was in this case, what are some of the complicating factors for your office in prosecuting it? Does it make life easier, or are there ways that you've seen defense teams go after that?
It really depends on specific facts, and I have not seen the confession or read the confession. It depends on the issues that the defense raises. Typically, a confession that corroborates the physical evidence is helpful in the prosecution, typically.
Speaking outside of based on this case and similar ones we've seen in other states, is there any change to state law that you think needs to be made or that you would be pushing the legislature for to try and avoid incidents like this?
Well, we're prosecutors and we're not legislators.
Sure.
And so we deal with the law that is made. We participate in testifying before some committees, before the legislature, when we agree with the bill or don't agree with the bill. We will be having a press conference next month, believe it or not, discussing a topic that we had decided to do about 2 weeks ago, I believe, at the time of our last press conference, dealing with firearms. It's not about gun control, it's about crime control, and we're doing some work and some research on that, and we will be revealing a lot of that on February 14th at the time of our next press conference. Once again, it seems that every morning we wake up to a situation like this that is, we can't even begin to describe how tragic it is for the victims, for the loved ones of those victims, and for the community. And this is a case that certainly has impacted our community, I'm sure, church groups, children in the community, other families, and we appreciate the impact that it has had, and we'll do everything within our power to keep something like this from happening again.
Carrie, do you believe if this does go to court, is it 30 years is the max for the first-degree murder,
right,
plus the additional 30 years,
yes,
for each count of,
yes,
child abuse that,
yes,
could potentially be the,
yes,
case?
Yeah. Now, the difference when you try someone under the serious youthful offender statute, they are tried as an adult. However, when it comes time for sentencing, the judge has more discretion. A regular adult would be facing mandatory time for those homicides. A juvenile may not necessarily be facing the mandatory time because the court can decide what time to impose. Mandatory time is not mandatory,
only
so to speak, with the juvenile.
Only in the child abuse resulting in death.
No, as far as I understand, any kind of first-degree conviction. The court does not have to impose mandatory time when he's looking at a juvenile. That's the way I read it. Yeah.
So
they're all 30-year sentences. They're all 30-year mandatory sentences for first-degree conviction. Okay, the child abuse and the first-degree homicide. If they were an adult, that time, that 30-year period of time, has to be imposed. But because it's a juvenile, the court can say, I think 30 years is too much. I will impose 25 years. I will impose 20 years. So the judge has more discretion. And that's because it is a juvenile. And they believe that the legislature believed that the courts need discretion to evaluate each case on a case-by-case basis.
Sorry. How few years have you seen or do you know of that instead of 30, I mean, could he get a year or, you know what I mean?
I guess technically that's what the court could impose. We've never had a case like this, as far as I know, in the state of New Mexico. So this, I can't compare this to any other case. I would think a court would be very well aware of all of the circumstances and be able to make a just decision. The fact that five people lost their lives, very young children, that certainly wouldn't result in a light or minor sentence.
But then again, I'm sorry, I just want to make sure that I understand this correctly. The judge can impose a five-year sentence for each charge, as little as...
If that's what the court deems appropriate.
Okay.
Does this serious youthful offender make it difficult to make a plea deal then, if there was a plea deal opportunity?
No, I think we have the same discretion that we would in any case. I think that the prosecutor and the defense attorney could get together and say, this is what we feel is appropriate. Leave it up to the court for sentencing, or this is an appropriate resolution in terms of a plea to specific charges and a disposition. And it's up to the court to determine if that's appropriate or not. But I don't think it limits us whatsoever.
You had mentioned the Buckles is a capital crimes attorney. Since we don't have the capital punishment in the state anymore, can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, right now we have the possibility. We don't have the death penalty as of July 1st of 2009. That was repealed. They still have a capital crimes division that deals with those offenses that could result in a life sentence without the possibility of parole.
So
that is a substitute for the death penalty, yes. Yes.
Can you identify any other differences that might happen even though he's being tried as an adult? Like at the sentencing, for example, is there any other tweak in the system that will take into account?
Well, it's very different when you're prosecuting an adult versus you're prosecuting a juvenile, age 15, 16, and 17. There's different issues, and I think there will be different arguments made at sentencing. There may be different evaluations by psychologists or medical personnel. I mean, I can't anticipate on what the defense will do, but it's different when you have a juvenile charged versus an adult.
If this goes to court, is it possible to be found not guilty by reason of insanity, even though he hasn't been tested right now?
I guess it's a possibility. Typically, when that happens, you have a history of mental illness, often 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and you have to have expert witnesses. That's not a defense that is one that wins a lot of favor with defense attorneys or with juries in reality. But you have to look at the totality of the circumstances, and the defense attorney will do that to see if that's a viable defense. Now, we have specific instructions that will be given to the jury that deal with insanity, and it can't be something that happens on the spur of the moment.
Is there any way that his defense can possibly look to have his confession thrown out for any reason? I know he is 15, excuse me.
Right.
And he apparently said he doesn't want an adult or an attorney present, but is there anything because of his young age?
A defense attorney or a defendant can make any request of the court. Doesn't have to be reasonable or rational. They can still make that request. Now, I would anticipate that they will do. Mr. Buckles is very experienced and is very able and skilled lawyer, and I would suspect that that he will be well represented and that every issue possible will be addressed fully and completely.
Can we get the spelling of his name, if you have one?
Of his name?
Yes.
His name is Nehemiah?
No, I'm sorry, Jeff Buckles.
Oh, Jeff Buckles. Oh, how do you spell his name?
B-U-C-K-L-E-S.
B-U-C-K-L-E-S? Okay.
E-L-S.
That's how I have it down here, but I just wrote it. I don't know for sure.
And real quick, could you just give us some perspective as to when these cases, if in fact goes to court, what is this like for a jury having to, look at this 15-year-old with these very serious charges? What is that
You know, I've not been a juror, so I'm speculating. I would imagine a jury would react like we react. I mean, we can't believe it. It's horrible. It would be a terribly challenging, responsibility to deal with. On the other hand, they will have instructions. They will take an oath to say that they can follow the law, that they will be fair and impartial, and that we have to believe that they'll do the right thing after hearing all the evidence.
Why was the young man appointed an attorney so soon? This is a public defender case, and usually that doesn't happen until weeks down.
Because this is a high-profile case, and they feel that he may need an attorney right away.
Was he appointed, or did Jeff sort of stand up and say, I want this case?
I would think that he qualified for a public defender, and Jeff Buckles got on the case. It's not surprising. I would anticipate Jeff to be on the case.
Has he ever defended any other high-profile?
He was involved in the Astorga case. He was involved in the Tribio case, I think, in part. He also, I believe, supervises that division. So other attorneys in his division, he's involved to some degree. But he's usually involved in most of the high-profile cases that are capital crimes. Any other questions? And thank you all very much.
I just want to clarify the law for you. Is it 14 in New Mexico? Then you can go
15, 16, and 17 for the serious youthful offender. For the youthful offender, it's 14, 15, or 16, or 17 in enumerated crimes.
Great. Okay, and then the other question I had is, since it's going to be so high profile, do you guys expect to be a change of venue at some point if it went forward?
I kind of doubt that. A change of venue is really rare.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then no matter what, we're expecting it to be costly.
If you really want me, I mean, it could be or it couldn't be. It just really depends, because I don't think the judge will sever the count. So it's just like one murder case with a lot of evidence.
I see. Yeah. So it won't have to be like more as far as expert testimony. So it would be on the count.
I would suspect that.